With counselors and school board members sitting around a square arrangement of tables last Thursday, District Superintendent Gary Jacobson laid out one of the main reasons for the work session. The schools would like the city to commit to a consistent, sustained local contribution each year for at least a few years.
And with that, we can do some long-range planning. And we know, you know, the state has made an effort for the next 3 years. And if we could get, you know, like a local effort for the next 3 years of a certain amount, that would really enable us to do good planning, take care of things as much as we can, and it would enable us to maintain our good programs and even increase them.
Jacobson went over the history of the city's local contribution, which he said had been relatively steady over the past several years. Since 2002, it's come in between $1.6 and $2 million annually. The school district has not yet determined its local needs for this coming year, and Jacobson did not request any specific amount of funding, just asked that it was consistent over the next few years. Local funds, including federal pass-through money, pay more than a quarter of the district's operating budget. The rest comes from the state. Now, the state is likely to increase its funding substantially this year based on recommendations from a legislative task force and a separate proposal from the Palin administration. Either would result in several hundred thousand dollars more for Petersburg. Still, with record oil revenues, Mayor Al Dwyer didn't think the state was doing all it could for schools. He agreed with Board President Barb Steltz about maintaining the quality of local schools.
The thing that boggles my mind is the state's never had so much money in their
existence. What, they got $5 billion?
And that's, you've got a governor that's all poor education. You're getting these little pennies and nickels and dimes, and it's not really helping much.
Well, it makes it really hard for us to, you know, try to do really what's best for our kids and what's best for our teachers, to be able to hire, you know, enough teachers so that they have a prep time and they have the adequate time they need to prepare for class and to be quality teachers, which is what we're used to and what we expect here. And
to maintain the reputation of the school.
Well, yeah, and the quality of education, which, you know, We prided ourselves on that in this community for a long time, and you hate to see that jeopardized.
While there was no debate over the quality of local schools or the need for more funding, neither the mayor nor other counselors were willing to commit to a stable funding level from the city. According to Councilor Melinda Hofstede, there were too many local uncertainties for the city to make such a commitment. Rather, she thought it was up to the state.
I think what all of us need to lobby for is for some forward funding for education from the state, and then it's more stable, and we know what's coming in. And then we've got this dropping population, so it's really hard for us to say we're going to give you X number of dollars for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, and you can count on it, when we don't even know what your school population is doing.
The size of the school population affects the amount of money a district receives from the state, which is where the district needed to focus its lobbying efforts, according to Mayor Dwyer.
And I think the people you need to talk to is the governor's office. The more you get out of her, the less you'll need out of us.
That possibility prompted school board member Gene Ellis and board president Barb Steltz to voice one of the district's major concerns, that the city council will cut local school funding if the legislature increases state funding. It has happened in the past when the city was tightening its belt. In 2004, while the state was increasing its funding for schools, the city decreased local funding.
Which in effect really gives our money to the city.
Well, you're probably right there.
And it also, you know, when the state starts looking at the local contribution plus what they're offering, you know, when they're giving us money, if they see the state or the local contribution going down, it doesn't look very good. You know, it doesn't look like we're getting support from the state. And I understand the predicament, you know, you're talking about, because ours, you know, it is unstable, and it's unstable for everybody.
For everybody.
It is, and it's not.
Our
just
finances are unstable.
Oh,
what comes into the city,
that
too.
Well, the legislature's finances are unstable, really.
Mm-hmm. Right, and, you know, and that's the tricky part. But if we don't have the local contribution, it's like a grant, you know, and
right.
If you have a good local contribution that's steady, you know, you're more, it's more credible with the state, too.
Right.
Councilor Hofstede and Mayor Dwyer both pledged their support for giving the school district at least what it needed in local funds. However, with no specific numbers on the table last week, it was unclear what the school's need will be. Concerned over the level of debt the city has accumulated for capital projects, Councilor John Haverlick thought the public would have to be convinced of the school's local funding needs.
I think if you do have a priority of programs or something you want, I don't see why people won't support it, because the schools have done a really nice job. But it has to be for a specific reason. I think if we can show the public that, they'll support us.
One of the successful examples that came up was the one laptop computer per student program. Counselor Bob Nilsen said he thought it was the best investment the schools have ever made. But Nilsen also asked the school board to be conservative in spending, considering the city's many needs.
We need a new fire hall. We need a new library.
Mm-hmm.
We need a new city hall. We need a new police station. We haven't got any of them. We don't have any money for any of them. So you've got to be very cautious.
While the board and the council did not come to any resolve on local funding, they did agree to cooperate on lobbying at the statewide level. One concern they also shared was the declining student population, which has dropped from 750 in the year 2000 to 560 students today. The Haas family moved to town during that time, adding a couple of kids to the school system. School board member Brian Haas said the school district facilities like the new pool and the community support for families were all factors that played into their decision to come here.
When we came to this community, we looked around, we saw the lifestyle, and we also saw the commitment that the community had to its children, to its families. We were down here on vacation. We went back and got our suitcases and showed up a few weeks later. I mean, it was that impressive to us. So I know that that there are budget concerns. There always are, and I kind of consider myself a fiscal conservative as well, but I need to point out that some of the spending that you folks have done in the past just might be what stops this population from declining, because you got something real special going on here.
The school board does not typically give its formal funding request to the city council until it develops its district budget in the late winter and spring. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.